السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to cover آيات 60 to 62 of سورة الأنعام. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 60. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and huwa, he, alladhi, is the one who. And we should actually say alone is the one who. Yatawaffakum. Waffa means to call back, to fully recall. Ya in the beginning means he, so yatawaffa, he fully recalls, kum, all of you, meaning he makes you all die. Bi in al the layl, night. Wa and ya'lamu, he knows. This word comes from ilm, which means knowledge. Ya in the beginning means he. So ya'lamu, he knows, ma, whatever, jarahtum, jarah, earned or committed, tum, all of you, bi, in, al, the, nahar, night. Thumma, then, yab'athukum, ba'atha means to raise. Ya in the beginning means he. So yab'athu, he raises, kum, all of you, fi, in, he, it, meaning in the day. Li yukoda, li, so that, yukoda. Koda means to decree. Yukoda is in the third person and it is passive. So it means so that it is decreed. Li yukoda, so that it is fulfilled. Ajalun, a term. Musamma, one fixed or appointed. Thumma, then. Ilay, two. Only two. He, him. Marji'u, return. Kum, yours. Thumma, then. Yunabbi'ukum. Naba'a is the root word and that means news. Okay, you in the beginning means he, so yunabbi'u, he will give news or he will inform. Kum, all of you. Bima, be, with, ma, whatever. Kuntum, kun, were. Tum, all of you. Ta'amaloon, you all do. Ain, mim, lam. Amal is the root word and that means to do something. Ta in the beginning means you. And the una at the end of this word means that this word is plural. So ta'malun, you all do. Wa and huwa, he. Al-qahiru is the overpowerer. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, al-qahir. So he, al-qahir, means alone is the overpowerer. Fawqa, above or upon. Ibadihi, ibad is plural for the word abd, which means a slave or a worshipper, servant. So ibad, servants, he, his. Wa and yursilu, he sends. Rusul is the root word and arsal means to send. Ya in the beginning means he. So yursilu, he sends. Alay, upon, kum, all of you. Hafadha. Hafadha then means protectors or guardians. Hatta, until. Idha, when. Ja'a, came. Ahada, one. welcome of all of you. Al-Maut, the death. Tawaffathum, tawaffat, fully recalled. Who? Him. Or gave him death. Rusuluna, rusul, means messengers. Na, ours. The na refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers, rusul, is what the angels are called here, because the angels are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rusuluna means our messengers, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels. Wa and hum, they, la, do not, yufarritun, they neglect, or they fall short. Ya in the beginning means that this word is in the third person, and una at the end of the word makes it plural. So it means they neglect. Thumma, then, ruddu, they were returned. Rud means to return. Ruddu is in the passive form. So they were returned, ila, to Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mawlahum. Mawla means protector, guardian, best friend, hum, theirs. Al-haq, the true. Ala, beware. Lahu, la, for, who, him. And we should add only to the beginning of this. So, ala, beware, lahu, only for him. Al-hukmu, al, the, hukm, judgment, or decision. Wa and huwa, he, asra'u, most swift. Sari'u is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, right? He is sari'ul hisab, he is most swift in reckoning. Now here the word is asra'u. Adding alif to the beginning of this word adds even more depth to whatever is being said, even more emphasis. So asra'u, he is most swift. This is an attribute of his. Al-hasibin, of those who take account. Hisab means to take account, to reckon. And hasib is somebody who reckons, and ina ending makes that word plural. So asra'ul hasibin, he is the most swift of those who reckon. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. But before we begin, I'd like to make a correction from ayah number 52 that we covered earlier. Now, when Umar radiallahu anhu had gone to get the keys from Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem was under the Byzantine Christian rule. Okay? It was under the Byzantine Christian rule. So he actually got the keys from the Christians, not the Jews. Okay, I had said that he went to get the keys from the Jews. That was a mistake. Please make that correction, that he got the keys from the Christians, because the city was under the Byzantine Christian rule. So please make a note of it. Also, just to clarify, the person who traveled with Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went to get the keys, was his servant. He was his freed slave, because slavery did not exist anymore at that time. Okay, because in case you're wondering why his slave was with him when slavery did not exist anymore, it's because he was his freed slave. He was his servant. Secondly, the hadith we learned, which was connected to ayah number 54, about when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent a letter to the Roman emperor. His name was Heraclius, not Hercules. Okay, I had said Hercules, but it's not Hercules. His name was Heraclius. Please make a note of that. This is really important, because Hercules, the one that we're often very familiar with, that was the name given to the legendary Greek hero in Roman mythology. That person was different. The emperor that we are talking about, that we talked about in ayah number 54, about whom Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a letter to, was named Heraclius. So it's Heraclius. Okay, he was the Byzantine emperor at that time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them a letter. Okay, I hope that's clear. Now we're going to start our lesson for today, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa huwa alladhi yatawaffakum bil-layl. And he is the one who takes your souls at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word yatawaffakum, meaning he fully recalls you, which means he causes you to die, right? In this ayah, the word yatawaffakum, that's what this word normally means. And that's because when we sleep at night, sleep is actually a form of death. It's like being dead, since we're not aware of our surroundings when we're asleep. We don't hear or see anything. We aren't conscious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us experience sleep, which is similar to death, every single night. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows what you do during the day. He knows what we do all throughout the day, each and everything that we do. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ. Then he raises you up again. After making us sleep at night, he makes us wake up again the next day. He raises us again. لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. So that your allotted span of time is completed. This is why he raises us up again every morning. Every single morning. After making us sleep at night, he makes us wake up so we can complete our time here on earth before we die. Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then only to him is your return. To him we shall all return. Think about all the steps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. And know how this is basically the story of our lives. Every single day, we wake up in the morning and we do work throughout the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls us at night and we go to sleep. Then he makes us wake up again during the day so that we can complete our lifespan here. Then we will return to him. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then he will notify you of all that you have done. He will tell us whatever deeds we did here over our lives. Everything that we did all throughout our lives. So just like the life cycle of a leaf that we learned about last time is the life cycle of a person. It's so similar. And just as a leaf gets buried in the dirt, we will die at the end. But the difference is that we'll be reckoned for all that we did after we die and were buried. And that leaf is not questioned about anything. That's why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to say, I wish I had been a tree, so I wouldn't have to be questioned, so I wouldn't be reckoned. Just think about what we learned here. Just as we sleep every single night, we're going to die one day. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares sleep to death is because our soul, or the nafs, is actually two-tiered. It includes the nafs al-nafsani, okay, the nafs al-nafsani, and the nafs al-haywani, the nafs al-haywani, through which a person breathes and feels. The other nafs, the nafs al-nafsani, that part of it, is the ruhani nafs, okay? It's the soul. And that's the one that leaves our bodies at night, that part. When a person's time of death approaches, when they're sleeping, because we hear about a lot of people who go to sleep and they never wake up, they die in their sleep, right? So if a person is to die in their sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds the nafsul nafsani And he calls back the nafs al-haywani as well. Because normally the nafs al-haywani stays with us because we continue to breathe as we sleep, right? And if anyone touches us, we wake up, we feel. But when it's time for us to die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the nafs al-haywani as well. But if someone has more time to live, if their time isn't up yet, their nafs al-nafsani is sent back to their body. So these are the two kinds of nafs that are within us. So when one of the souls, the nafs al-nafsani, when one part of it leaves the body, when we sleep, it is kind of like dying. That's why people say that sleep is a form of death. It's similar to death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us experience that every single day. And every morning when we wake up, we have basically experienced a form of death as we slept. We are closer to death than life when we're asleep. That's why we're taught to say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amadana wa ilayhin nushur. That's the dua that we're supposed to make when we wake up in the morning. Right? The masnoon dua, the dua according to sunnah. And it means praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gave me life after death, and to him is the resurrection. And for any person who is used to saying this dua every morning when he wakes up, that person is just going to say it when he is resurrected from his grave on the Day of Judgment too. Because they're so used to it, they're going to end up saying it. Now, let's think about this. When we wake up in the morning, do we ever think that we were not capable of waking up on our own? Just like we weren't capable of staying up the night before and we fell asleep. Even if we didn't want to, we end up falling asleep. Just like that, we are incapable of waking up on our own. We are so helpless that we fall asleep whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to. And it's with His permission that we wake up afterwards. If He didn't want us to wake up, we wouldn't be able to. That's why so many people die in their sleep. Because their time is up. And once their time is over, then their soul is not returned to their body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has one part of their soul when they're sleeping, right? And what happens is that He recalls the other one as well when He makes that person die while they're sleeping. Allahu Akbar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises us in the morning, it's as if He has granted us a new life. And we should think of it that way and treasure the time that we have here on this earth. Value that time. We should thank Him for being granted more time. Think of it as a new day to do good deeds. Whenever a person survives after a serious accident or an illness, they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being granted a second chance. They think that they're given a second chance at life. They want to start all over again. They want to do good. They try to change themselves for the better. Just like that person, we should think of each day as a second chance, as a new chance to begin fresh, to start fresh and do good. Every single day that we wake up is like being granted a new life. Value that life, value that time, and do things to please Him. Remember that we wouldn't have been able to do anything if we had died while sleeping, right? We wouldn't be sitting here right now studying if we had died in our sleep last night. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that chance. And after this fixed term is up, after we live our lives according to the lifespan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, when our lives come to an end, we return to where we started off from. We return to our Marujiyo. We came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after completing this lifetime here, after living our lives, we will return to Him. No matter where we go and what we do, we have to return to Him. There is no option. Our journey ends and we complete the cycle of life when we get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He will inform us of all that we have done. We have to stand before Him and tell Him why we did what we did here in life. Allahu Akbar. We are granted such a great blessing every single morning. So we shouldn't take life for granted. Because once we're recalled to Him, He will show us everything that we did. That's when the story of our lives comes to an end. But think about how helpless we are. How incapable we are of controlling anything throughout this whole cycle of life and death. We cannot control when we wake up, or when we die, or when we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We won't be able to prevent the story of our lives being told before everyone on the Day of Judgment. It will be displayed. So how can we think that we have so much power, as if we're capable of doing anything? People think that they can do whatever they want, but we are not capable of anything at all. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. And He is the irresistible. He is the overpowerer over His servants. He has total control over His worshippers. None of the idols that people call out to have total control over them. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete control over everyone. Even people who disbelieve in Him or rebel are controlled by Him. He has a hold on everything. He can control whatever they do at any time. All these people who disbelieve Him or rebel against His rules, He has control over them. He can seize them at any time. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. And He sends protectors over you, meaning angels. They protect in two ways. The angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to us protect us in two ways. The first explanation of this are the kiraman katibin, the two angels who write down our deeds. They protect people because they write down everything people do. They record everything without stopping even for a second. They don't get tired or sleep, and they don't take any time off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another surah, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. And indeed over you are surely the protectors. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. Noble ones who write. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know all that you do. They write everything down. One angel on our right and the other on our left side. According to a Sahih Muslim and Bukhari hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The night angels and the day angels take turns coming to you. And they get together at the time of the Fajr prayer and Asr prayer." This means that their shifts change at the time of Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr. When one pair of angels comes, the angel on our right and left that is meant to stay with us for the next shift, the ones that had been with us on our right and left shoulder leave. So they hand over the work to the other pair when they're leaving, and that's when they gather together at Fajr time and Asr time. Then even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more than them, of course. He asks the angels who spent the night with you. When they go back, he says, "In what state did you leave my servant?" And he asks them because he wants to hear them say good things that his worshippers do. So the angels say, "When we left this person, he was praying Salatul Fajr. When we reached him, he was praying Salatul Asr." Subhanallah. A Tirmidhi hadith tells us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Try to avoid being naked, being fully uncovered, because there are angels with you who stay with you at all times, besides two times, and that's when you use the bathroom or during intimacy with your spouse." So this means that there are only two times when those angels that are with us, they leave our side. And that's when you go to the bathroom or when a husband and wife are intimate. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be mindful of these angels and honor them." Another narration tells us that the angel on our right leads the angel on our left side. When a person is about to do something bad, when a person does something bad, actually. Okay, so when a person does something bad, the angel on the right tells the angel on the left to wait. He says not to write it down yet, in case that person repents. Allahu Akbar. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When a Muslim is going through an illness, and during that illness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the angels write down the good deeds that person used to do when he was healthy, before he got ill. So he has ordered the angels to write down the good deeds for that person until he gets better. Because he used to do those things before he became ill. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, subhanallah, that he makes them continue writing down those good deeds for that person every day until that person is healthy again. As if that person was doing those good things that he used to do before, even when he was ill and he wasn't able to. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the angels by saying, 'When my servant intends to do something bad, don't write it down. If he does whatever he was thinking of doing, write it down as one sin. But if he intends to do something good and he isn't able to do it, write down one good deed for him anyway.'" Allahu Akbar. Okay, so imagine that a bad deed is only written down after that person does it. But you get the reward of doing a good deed after making the intention, even if you're not able to carry through and do that good deed, which happens to us so often, right? We plan to do things and we don't end up doing them. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will account those intentions as good deeds for us. We find out from this hadith that angels know a person's intentions as well. Because if that person does the good deed he intended to do, it counts as 10. It's multiplied by 10. So it's recorded as doing 10 good deeds, subhanAllah. If the angels didn't know what that person had intended, they would not have been able to record it. And Imam Muslim narrates a hadith told by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Angels say, "O Rabb, your servant is intending to sin, knowing that it's sinful to do what he plans to do." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to wait and see what that person does. And he says, "If he commits that sin, record it in his record as one sin. And if he doesn't do it, record one good deed for him." Subhanallah. And that's because he changed his mind and canceled his plan to sin because of me. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is a Bukhari and Muslim hadith. So this proves that the angels know what our intentions are. But there's one thing the angels don't know when it comes to people's intentions. Okay, they can't tell if the person doing a good deed is doing it sincerely, exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if they're doing it to be seen by others. They don't know that. Everyone will find out about those intentions on the Day of Judgment. Whether someone did something good sincerely for Allah, or to show off to others. Because on the Day of Judgment, riya will be shown. It will be exposed. And it will be announced that so-and-so had done riya. Meaning they did whatever good deeds they did to show off. Likewise, in Tabrani, we find out that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, some people will be ordered to go to Jannah. They'll be so close to entering Jannah that they will be able to smell it and see the palaces of Jannah and the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the people of Jannah. And then they'll hear a caller call out to them and tell them to come back away from Jannah. And they will be told that there's no share of it for them. They'll wish to be admitted to Jannah, but they'll come away from it. And they'll say, oh, our Lord, we wish that you would have admitted us to Jahannam, to the hellfire, before showing us the reward and all the blessings that are in store for your beloved servants who will enter Jannah. That would have been easier for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, I planned to do this when you used to be alone and you associated partners with me. You were humble before me in front of people to show off to them. But your hearts were not humble before me. You feared people, not me. You thought people were honorable, not me. So today, I will make you taste the painful punishment and deprive you of the reward. This will happen because they used to do things to be seen by others, to be noticed. They did ria. They were different around people. They pretended to be so good than they were when they were alone. When it comes to the kiram and katibin, the angels who record our good and bad deeds, there's a difference of opinion as to whether they change on a daily basis, like when they change shifts, or if the same two angels stay with us every night for the nighttime duty and the same two angels for the daytime duty all throughout our lives. That their job ends when that person dies. It's the same four angels in charge of us. Some say that that's how it works, and others say that the angels change every day. So wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We don't know if they change every day or if it's the same nighttime angels every night and daytime ones every day. Now, the second meaning of this phrase, وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ hafaza, and he sent upon you protectors, means the guardian angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up many angels to protect us. Guardian angels. So many times people say that they almost got into an accident, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. That's because he sent guardian angels to protect them. They protected that person because their time of death has not yet come. Otherwise, there are so many things around us in the universe that can kill us right away, in an instant. Because as humans, we are really weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels as guards over us. The guardian angels are with us all the time. They don't ever leave us alone, ever. They're all doing the job they were sent to do. There are some that protect our eyes. Others protect our ears. There are seven angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed just to protect a person's eye. Subhanallah. It's the same for all, whether that person is a believer or a disbeliever. So death does not come to that person until it's actually time for him or her to die. That's when the guardian angels move over. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent these angels to guard us for free, all the time, 24/7. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us until it's time for us to die. And when a person's time of death comes, the angels don't do anything to protect that person. Then they let that person go through whatever they have to experience before they die. That's why when people die due to an accident, it's because that person's time of death had come. The angels move back at that time and they don't protect that person. That's how that person dies. So the guardian angels protect us only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to. They protect our organs, our bodies, against all harm. But when we are destined to be hurt, they allow it to happen by the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. The Kiraman Katibin, the angels who write, are basically recording every single moment of our lives. And everything they record will be displayed before everyone on the Day of Judgment. So for people who like to take a lot of pictures or make videos to show others, post things on social media, they should prepare for the day when their lives will be displayed before everyone. People will be able to see everything they did. They'll be able to view them from every angle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent two kinds of angels over us. Those who record our good and bad deeds, and the guardian angels for our protection. Hatta idha jaa ahadakum al-maut, until death approaches any one of you. So the angels guard us until the time of our death comes. At that time, the angels who are sent to take our life approach. Then the guardian angels move over and they let the others do their work. They don't protect that person anymore. Tawaffathu rusuluna, our angels take his soul. So Malakul Maut, the angel of death, comes with his helper angels, a lot of helper angels, to take our soul. Some say that the Kiram and Katibin join the angels as well at that time and help them take that person's soul. Wahum la yufarritun, and they're not negligent in performing their duty. They don't fall short at all in doing their work. They fully recall that person's soul. They don't just remove the soul from the feet and leave it in other parts of the body and think, okay, it's all right. They fully recall the soul completely. They do their work properly and they don't make mistakes. They're not careless, unlike us. They do their work fully, completely. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And they do exactly as they're told to do, as they're ordered to do. They don't feel sorry for anyone or fall short. They don't think, oh, this person is young, I'll let this person live for longer. They don't do anything differently from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to, what he instructed. They don't do it even a second before or after the appointed time of death. They do their work accurately. They recall the souls exactly when they're supposed to be taken back, and they complete their work. And this applies to all the angels. The Kiram and Katibin, they record everything properly. The guardian angels that protect us, they do their work properly without falling short. And the angels of death, they do their work as well, fully. And many angels come to take a person's soul when it's time for them to die. Maybe because it's difficult, it's not an easy task, taking a soul. Malakul Maut, the angel of death, could have just done it on his own, right? But a whole team of helper angels comes with him. A whole team of helper angels. It's a whole procedure. And at the end, when the soul reaches the throat, it means that the helper angels have done their work. And that's when Malakul Maut takes the soul out of the body. Hadith from Musnad Ahmad and Ibn Majah explains this in detail, this whole process of death. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, angels approach the dying person, and if the person is righteous, they say, "Oh, pure soul, you were in your pure body. You are trapped. Come out. Glad tidings for you of happiness and contentment, and of your Lord being pleased with you." And the angels will lovingly keep saying this until the soul comes out of the body happily. But this isn't easy, because the soul has to leave every single pore, okay? And the soul has to come out of every single hair on the body. That's why it is encouraged to leave the body, so it can come out easily. So the angels keep saying this to him. They say, "Oh, pure soul, come out. Okay, come towards the glad tidings and the pleasure of your Lord." Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the time of death easy for us. Ameen. Allahumma a'inna ala wa maratil mawti wa sakaratil mawt. O Allah, help us against the difficulty and the pains of death. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then the soul goes up in the sky, and angels ask whose soul it is as it is ascending in the sky. And from the part that says that they do not fall short, وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ, it means that they take the soul back with them. They don't just leave it there after they recall that soul. They take it to the sky back with them. There are doors. Okay, there are doors between the skies, between the levels of the heavens. And when they're asked who it is by the angels on the level above, they tell the other angels, saying the name of the person and their father's name. The angels in the sky say, how pure is this soul? We welcome this soul. Subhanallah. That's how that soul is honored. Because of its piety, all the angels warmly welcome that soul and tell him or her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it. And this will keep happening. The soul keeps ascending in the skies, in the heavens, until it reaches before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there, that soul prostrates. However, when the dying person is evil, the angels who come to take his soul, they say, "Get out, impure soul. You were in an impure body. Come out. You are blameworthy. There's glad tidings of boiling water for you," and some other bad things. That soul will not want to leave the body because it's so afraid. And the angels hit the soul and they take it out forcefully from the body because it doesn't want to leave the body. That soul tries to hide in the body, but it's pulled out, it's extracted violently. When it's taken up towards the sky, the door of the sky is opened for it. When questioned about who it is, the angels above are asking who that person is. The angels taking the soul tell the other ones that person's name. And the angels reply, the angels above say, "This impure soul is not welcome here. It was in an impure body. It's blameworthy. Go back." And then the doors of the sky don't open for that soul. When the angels carrying it request for the gates to be opened, They're not opened. And it's just thrown back down. It's taken to the grave. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith that we learn from Nasa'i and Ibn Hibban, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, when the angels of death come to a believer, the angels of mercy come with white silk. They say, O soul, come out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, come towards the happiness and approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that soul comes out like the pure scent of musk. Some angels take that soul to the gates of the sky, the doors, and the angels of the sky ask, they say, how pure is this smell that comes from the earth? Then they let that soul meet the souls of the believers, the other believers. And the believers who are there already are so happy to meet that soul. The way people are, the way they feel when they're reunited with lost friends. That's how strong the connection of the mu'mineen will be. Then they ask that soul about people who were left behind. Others tell them to leave that soul alone, since that person just got there after bearing so many troubles in life. They say, oh, just wait, don't ask him so many questions. He must be tired. But the soul will ask about certain people who died before him to see if they had not been reunited with the believers, because he won't see those people there. And they're going to say, that person never came to us. So maybe he or she must be in Jahannam. And when an evil person's time of death approaches, the angels bring a rag for that soul. And they say, get out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with you, and you are upset with him. They attempt to ascend with that soul, bringing it to the angels of the first sky above the earth, who ask, what is that foul smell? What is that stench? The gates of heaven are slammed shut in its face, and it is refused entry. It's hurled back down and returned to its body in the grave to face torment. Another narration says that when a believer's time of death approaches, angels come with silk, fragrance of musk, and bunches of rayhan, which is a flower. So they come with bouquets. They take the soul of the body, out of the body, very gently. They take it out easily. And they say, oh, pure soul, come towards the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiyatan maradiyah. Pleased and pleasing, well pleasing. They take that soul up to illiyin, in silk. But as for the wicked soul, when it dies, the angels bring a sackcloth made from the fire of hell for it, and they extract that soul violently. They tell that person to go towards the punishment of Allah, the flames of hell, and towards his disapproval. That soul is so worried. Then it's taken towards the Sijjin, which is a prison for evil souls. Astaghfirullahi Rabbi. So the end of the pious people and the evil people will be totally different. Okay? The pious ones will be honored, and the wicked souls will be disgraced and beaten while they're being taken. There's no comparison between the two. The angels who welcome the pious soul will do it so lovingly, and the angels who take the evil ones will do it violently, in a disgraceful, humiliating sort of way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the angels who give news of Jannah towards us when we die. And may He make our time of death easy for us. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We should all prepare for that time now, so that we can have a good end. None of us knows when life will suddenly come to an end. When we go to the cemetery, we should try to read the date of birth that's written, right, on the names, and read the date of death as well, of the people who are buried there. So we know that death can come at any age. We need these reminders. It doesn't matter how young a person may be or how old they are. They die when their time of death comes, regardless of age. Angels will not delay taking any of the souls back at the fixed time that's been appointed for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand all this, and may He allow us to work and prepare for that time. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. ثم ردوا إلى الله مولاهم الحق. Then those souls are brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their real master. The word mola means the one that frees, the one that protects, the close friend. It comes from the word wali that we covered already a long time ago. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true protector. He is the best friend, the one who frees people from punishment. Allahu Akbar. When people call another person Mawlana, when they really respect somebody who's very religious, like a scholar, sometimes they say Mawlana, right? They say it because that person is protecting Islam. That person is guarding religion, our deen, right? But the Al-Mawla, Al-Mawla, the Mawla, the protector, is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone is the real Mawla. Now, the soul is being returned and the body is left behind. The soul is the important part and it's returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the souls are returned to Him. That's why we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When a person dies, we say, indeed, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him we're going to be returned. To Him is the return. He is the true Mawla. Allahumma antal haqq. Oh Allah, You are the truth. Everything You say is true. Jannah is the truth, and so is Jahannam. All the things You've told us are the haqq. Ala lahu al-hukm, beware. He is the judge. Only He has the authority to decide. He is the only one in command. He knows when to recall someone fully, when they have to die, and when the angels of death will come for people, and what type of angels will approach that person. In this life, we want to prepare ahead and be welcomed whenever we go to a new place, right? We don't want to be embarrassed. But we should prepare for the hereafter, so we receive a warm welcome there. And then all the phases after that are easy. Bahuwa asra'ul hasibin. And He is the swiftest, the most swift in settling accounts. He is really fast at calculating. And He will reckon really quickly. He will reckon all of us. For Him, settling accounts of everyone is the same as settling the account of one person. He will settle everyone's accounts all at once, at one time. And He will do it very quickly. According to one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will settle the accounts of all creation in the time it takes to milk a goat. So in the time it takes to milk a goat, He would have reckoned everybody. In another hadith, it says that He will do it in half a day. It'll be really difficult to be accountable, to be answerable for every single day of our lives, every hour, every minute, every second, It's going to be difficult for us. We'll be questioned about everything we said and we did, all that we looked at and heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hijr, by your Lord, we will definitely question them about everything they did. In fact, whatever we did will be displayed there. It will be shown. We'll actually be asked why we did it, the reason for doing it. From a Bukhari hadith, we learned that Aisha radiallahu anha used to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever she didn't understand something after she heard a hadith. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is reckoned will definitely be punished. Because when Allah asks why they did something, they will not be able to answer him. So Aisha radiallahu anhu said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. This is from Surah Inshiqaq. So it means that whoever is given their record in their right hand will have an easy account taking. So she asked, she quoted this and she said, but you're saying that whoever is reckoned will be punished. She said, the ones who get their record in their right hand will be reckoned easily. So what does this mean? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, that the ones getting their records in their right hand will have their deeds presented easily. That's what that means. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. This is the only thing meant by it. But anyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned about why they did something will be destroyed. That person doesn't even have a chance. So we should make dua. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, grant us an easy reckoning. And what does that mean? This means that we're asking him to just look at us and let us pass. To say, okay, you can go. Without holding us there, without questioning us about why we did anything. We won't be able to respond for any of the things. Even if he questions us for one thing we did wrong. Imagine being answerable for all the things we collect in our wardrobes, in our closets, our properties, our cars, all the lavish foods we eat, these meals, and all the ways we were dishonest when using our tongue, our hands, our ears, and our eyes. And how will we tell him? What are we going to say about our youth? Why we spent our youth a certain way? Why we lived a certain way when we were young? And why we did what we do when we're old? How are we going to respond to those questions? How will we be able to account for all the blessings he has given us? On the Day of Judgment, the greatest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be questioned about will be salah. It will be prayer. Okay, so we must get that right. And the most important thing about the rights of others will be murder. That's the most serious thing. How will we be questioned about salah? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if anyone's prayers are good, that person is successful. But if a person doesn't pray properly, that person will be at a loss. We find out from a Bukhari and Muslim hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a true believer will be brought close to his Lord until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounds him with his mercy. Then he'll be made to confess his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, and we're talking about a true believer, please keep that in mind. And Allah will have surrounded him with his mercy. So that person's going to confess to sinning, all the sins he committed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, you committed this sin, and he will mention that sin. Do you remember it? And that person will say, yes, I do. Then he will question him about another sin the same way, and that person will reply again the same way and say, yes, I do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, I concealed your sin from others in dunya, and I will forgive you today as well. Then that person's good deeds will be wrapped up, his scroll will be folded, and he will succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, his mercy, will surround that person, and nobody will find out about what he had done wrong in his life. His sins will be covered from others because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. But as for the disbeliever, the unjust person, the evil person, they'll be called to question in front of everyone. They will be questioned in front of everyone. Allahu Akbar. We learn from a Muslim hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so merciful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I definitely know that the last person who exits Jahannam and enters Jannah in the end, after everyone else, will be brought on the Day of Judgment, and the angels will be told to present his smaller sins first and to keep away the greater sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to present the smaller sins first. So that person will be questioned about the things he did that are mentioned, along with the day when he did whatever sin it was that he committed. And that person will confirm that he did those things. He'll confess and he'll say that he can't deny doing any of the things mentioned. But he'll be so afraid that his greater sins may be brought forward too after that. He's going to think, so far the big sins are not even mentioned. But he's going to be told, there's a good deed for you in place of every single one of your sins. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say this to him, that you're going to get a good deed in place of each one of these sins, the smaller sins. So that person's going to say, my Lord, I have committed other greater sins too, which I don't see here. He means to ask for good deeds for those as well. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and he smiled as he said it. Subhanallah. That's how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Just because that person is so afraid of Allah, he is going to get good deeds in place of those sins. This means that some people will have an easy account taking because of something they did in their lives. Not just for being fearful on that day, because everyone's going to be afraid on that day. Even the biggest criminals. But in this life, that person had done something to get an easy account taking. And there will be others who will have a difficult account taking. Some are going to be scolded for what they did, and others will just be pardoned, and some will be seized. This is all up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows each and every person's situation and what they did in their situation, according to their situation. And he will deal with them justly and judge according to his wisdom. So it's not going to be the same for everyone. But the scholars, the mujahideen, the ones who work for deen, and the wealthy people will be reckoned first. And those who are well-to-do will be reckoned first. So the scholars, the ones who do work, who strive, and the wealthy people. Allahu Akbar. From Surah Bani Israel, we find out that people will be questioned regarding their hearing, their ears, their eyes, and their hearts. Imam Razi said that people will be questioned about everything. Even the prophets will be questioned. So, of course, there are no exceptions. Allahu Akbar. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when a person takes even one step, they'll be questioned about it, as to why they intended, what they intended to do by that step. why they took that step. Imagine how difficult that will be for us to be answerable for every single step we took when we walked. Oh Allah, we need your mercy. It will only be with your mercy that we're not seized. Ibn Hibban and Tirmidhi hadith state that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the first question people will be asked will be, didn't I make your body healthy? Didn't I provide cold water for you to drink? And he continued, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. On the day of judgment, you will be questioned about shade, about cold water, and dates. This means that we're going to be questioned about food, water, and everything. Another narration says that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, you will not be questioned about three things, and they are shade, to be protected from the sun, the piece of bread that keeps you upright, meaning that keeps you going, and clothing that covers you. So you won't be asked about these three things. Besides that, we'll be questioned about everything, from our closets that are filled to the max with so many clothes, and food in our refrigerators that can sustain us for even 10 days, to the houses we live in so comfortably, too comfortably. We'll be reckoned for all these things. But there's a way that we can make account-taking easy for ourselves. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified, whoever does three things will be reckoned in an easy way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit that person to Jannah out of his mercy. So the Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked what those three characteristics were, and he answered, give to the one who deprives you or takes away from you your things, connect and keep ties with the one who cuts off from you, forgive the one who is unjust to you, the one who is unfair. Doing these three things can make our reckoning easy. So we should try to remember this. Okay, give to the person who deprives you of anything, connect and keep ties with the ones who cut off from us, forgive the person who is unjust to us. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, if you can, let go of all grudges that you hold against others when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, because that will make your reckoning easier. So don't hold grudges against anyone. Whatever happens, just forgive that person. Leave it to Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that an Arabi asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, who will reckon the creation on the day of judgment? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do it himself. So the Arabi replied, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, then I'm going to succeed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him how, and he said, when Kareem is Qadir, meaning when the noble one, when the generous one is in charge of doing anything, when he is all able, he forgives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem. He is generous and he's so noble. And he doesn't get upset over little things. He doesn't seize us right away for little things. He forgives. And he doesn't rush to seek retribution. He gives people time and he forgives. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma hasibna hisabin yaseera. Oh Allah, make our reckoning easy for us. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته